to the Middle East now, and the question today, is it real? Amidst the latest turmoil in Iraq and Syria, Israel and Hamas have reached a deal following 7 weeks of fighting and talks in Cairo. Daniel Levy served as a Middle East peace negotiator under Prime Ministers Ehud Barak and Yitzhak Rabin. He's now director of the Middle East and North Africa program at the European Council on Foreign Relations. He joins us now from London. Daniel, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thank you so much, John.
What do you think underpins this deal here? Because there have been a lot of tentative ceasefires up till now.
My sense would be not a great deal with the following caveat. I think the ceasefire has been reached principally because both sides had had enough. And for both sides, the law of diminishing returns for continuing had kicked in. So I don't think there's been a dramatic breakthrough in the substance of what is agreed. I don't think the Egyptians have suddenly stepped up and the new Sisi presidency has proven itself to be a fantastic mediator or deal maker. I simply think that after 50 days, on the Israeli side, there has been a degree of exhaustion. The Israeli prime minister doesn't want to get dragged in further. His poll numbers are going down. The Israeli school year is due to start next week. Massive disruptions to that would be terrible for the Israelis, but terribly politically threatening for the prime minister. On the Hamas side, they can't force Israel into opening Gaza. They're only going to get some of the gains they hoped for, but going on any longer would also be costly for them. And right now, they can turn around, claim that they have created, which is significant, a degree of strategic deterrence. And so I think the costs for both sides are going on a greater. Both sides were simply ready for this. So it looks like this will be sustainable in the short term, but none of the bigger issues which would lead to a really sustainable ceasefire, a sustainable ending of hostilities, let alone a resolution of the bigger questions, Palestinian freedom, statehood, occupation, security for both peoples. None of those have been addressed.
Well, let's tick off those issues. First of all, the question of the blockade really hasn't been dealt with, the seaport, the question of prisoners. And as far as the asymmetry is concerned, you've got 2,000 Palestinians dead, 65 Israeli soldiers died fighting in the seven-week turmoil. That's grim.
Well, absolutely. And as you imply in that, John, we've been here before. There was a round of violence and an Israeli major military effort against Gaza in late 2008, early 2009, in November of 2012 again. Those cycles did not lead to a fundamental change, and we appear to be back at the status quo ante, therefore suggesting that this will be another window of quiet rather than a deepening of a change, and that therefore we'll be back where we were sometime in the future. Let's look at a couple of the things that you raised. I think in the short term, at least, there will be an effort to get more stuff in. You will see the taking forward of the effort at Palestinian unity between Hamas and Fatah. This is something that the Israeli prime minister came out assertively against. This whole thing probably began partly because Prime Minister Netanyahu wanted to defeat Palestinian unity. That seems a bit stronger today. You are likely to have President Abbas, who controls the West Bank, his guys on the border crossings, perhaps with international monitoring, perhaps more stuff will get in. So some of the opening up will happen. The bigger opening, the seaport, continues to be opposed by Israel, by Egypt. The international community doesn't look like it will push that issue. So you won't get the bigger opening. You won't get the demilitarization that Israel has asked for. It's not a serious ask, I don't think, but it's certainly been raised. And in terms of those terrible casualty numbers, especially on the Palestinian side, the vast majority civilian, many, many children, I don't think you'll get accountability. There will be a UN investigation. These things tend to produce reports, but don't tend to change realities. So I don't think you'll get greater accountability. What you did see on the Israeli side was the vast majority of losses were military. So Israel, I think, has been deterred from a larger ground incursion into Gaza.
So the takeaway here might be, number one, Egypt is a honest broker with the U.S. basically out of the loop. although the Sisi government isn't necessarily, you know, going to win any Nobel Prizes here. But, you know, the other thing is, how many times do Israel and Hamas go through these indirect talks before somebody finally says, you know what, Hamas and Israel are actually speaking essentially directly now?
You could also flip that first equation on its head regarding Egypt and the U.S. Egypt has taken an awfully long time under Sisi, far longer than in the past, to be a useful mediator. And I think if anything, Egypt comes out of this with more question marks than answers when it comes to how useful this new Sisi-led government is diplomatically, because Egypt had its own agenda against Hamas, and that made a ceasefire more difficult. The U.S., I think, has also shown the parties, this is what happens when you prefer us not to be here, especially to the Israelis, who were extremely dismissive, not to say overtly rude, regarding the Obama administration. When it comes to Israel and Hamas, I think there was an attempt by the Israeli side to depict Hamas as like the Islamic State, like Boko Haram. As you said, John, when you're actually sitting and negotiating with these people, it doesn't work to try and draw that analogy. Israel and Hamas take each other more seriously, have a greater degree of, I'd almost say, respect for each other's capabilities. There's a greater degree of mutual deterrence than exists between Israel and those who enter the negotiations on the Palestinian side, President Abbas. So I think that is a significant thing. I don't think they're about to start talking directly. Neither side wants that. But you may see a Palestinian unity formation gathering strength where it's accepted that Hamas has to be part of any solution. It can't be left out of any solution.
Speaking to us from London, he's now the director of the Middle East and North Africa program at the European Council on Foreign Relations. Daniel Levy served as a Middle East peace negotiator under Prime Ministers Ehud Barak and Yitzhak Rabin. Daniel, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Support for The Takeaway comes from TIAA CREF, a financial services company helping to create financial outcomes that matter. Learn more at TIAA.org.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.